I love Adam Creel. Done a lot for me. Continues to do a lot for me. But that's an example of, I think, why we all love him. He not only is willing to lead, he's willing to be led. We have new couple, new family, wants to be a part of River Chase. They have wanted to for some time, and we finally got around to doing it. So we're delighted to have them. Want to introduce you to Wynn and Amy Anderson. They're sitting over here beside Jane. They're our niece and nephew, and their two children, Molly Grace and Bradley. And we're delighted to have them as a Wynn wave so everybody can see exactly there. That's where they are. And we're delighted to have them as a part of our family. I wanted us to read tonight. You don't have to turn in the Bible if you don't want to, because every passage is going to be on the screen. And we're going to read those together. But if you would like to turn and read, then we'll announce when we get there where it is. But we'll probably finish the reading before you can get there. But these are some verses that I wanted us to talk about with regard to New Year. New Year, we love it. It's just an opportunity to think about starting over and turning a leaf, turning a new leaf, and having an opportunity to make things different, if at all possible, an opportunity to start over. The thing is that it's an opportunity to start over again and again and again and again. And the good thing about that is, as human beings, we need that. As human beings, all of us need to know and understand that we serve a God who recognizes our humanity, who loves us in spite of our humanity, and because of our humanity, gives us a chance to come back to life. Gives us a chance to come back to Him, and gives us a chance to be renewed, to be rebuilt, and to become new. And the idea of being able to become different, the idea of being able to become new, is within our grasp, because God gives us that ability. He gives us the ability to change, and He tells us how it comes about. And we're going to look at some verses tonight that will help us to see that and help us to understand that. Bottom line, we all know it. We change who we are when we change the way we think. When we change the way we think and we change our minds, and there has to be a process with regard to changing our minds. You just can't wake up and say, I'm going to change my mind. It's transforming it. It's being metamorphosed like a butterfly. And it happens by saturating ourselves with the Word of God and allowing the things that are said in God's Word to become the truths that we live by, and allow those truths to replace the lies that we've been living by. And when that occurs, we change our mind, we change our heart, and we become different. And God has given us the ability to do that. And God has given us the means to do that. And in essence, all it is coming to Him. Coming like Christ, coming back to God, and becoming like Him. And we become not only the recipients of a new year, we become the recipients of a new person. And not only us, but all of those who associate with us become recipients of a new person. I went through the Bible and looked at the word new. It's amazing how many times it's used, and it's amazing the context in which it's used. It'd be a good study, and most of what we're going to be looking at today is based on the idea and the search of the word new and how it's used and when it's used in the Bible. Let me tell you this. I cannot overemphasize enough how important this one thing is. I was talking to my 11th grade class this morning and telling them, and I can tell you from personal experience and from watching others just how absolutely important this is. Are you aware of how many people in our congregation are reading the Bible every day? Are you aware of how many people in our congregation read the Bible last year and set out to, with the intention of reading it completely through? And a lot of them succeeded, a lot of them finished, and they're doing it again this year. And not because we're going to have lessons coming from it, but it's something that they want to do. That is the single most important thing you can do for so many things with regard to your life and walk with God. To educate yourself by the Word of God, and that doesn't mean going taking a college class. It doesn't mean ordering all kinds of outlines and books and other things. It simply means read it. Sit down and read it for yourself. And read it with purpose. Read it trying to understand. There are a lot of different ways to read it, but you need to read it. And reading the Bible again and again and again is what grows this knowledge and this understanding of God's Word and seeing how it ties together and what it all means. And that's what creates this transformed mind and this different way of thinking and this different way of looking at life. Look at how that's emphasized in some of these verses that talk about new. The first one that I started with is this one from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 20 through 25. Let me set the stage for you. Lamentations is written by Ezekiel. But it's written by Jeremiah. And it's at the end of the period where God is going to bring about the punishment for the children of Israel. And Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And Lamentations is the reason why, because Lamentations simply means lament, his weeping book. Jerusalem has been destroyed. He's still there. He's one of the ones that was not taken captive, and he's still in the city, and he's walking the city streets. And in walking the city streets, he sees the absolute and total destruction. He sees the dead bodies. He sees the city's destruction, the homes that are no longer there, and everything that is the way it was. And he starts writing about it in Lamentations. And he starts giving us that description in chapter 1, and then he comes to chapter 3, and he says this. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. I remember when this city was honored by God. I remember when this city was blessed by God. I remember when this city was protected. I remember the joy of this city. I remember the joy of worshiping God in this city. I remember the devotion to God in this city. My soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall. This I remember. And I bring it back to my mind to make myself think about it. And because I do, therefore I have hope. In the midst of destruction, in the midst of the end of Israel and Jerusalem as he had known it, he has hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. And his compassions never fail, even in the middle of destruction. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is where I stand. The Lord is what I hold to. The Lord is what I trust. The Lord is my life. Says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. Because I know who he is. And I know what he will do. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. The Lord is good to the person that seeks him. So even in the midst of total destruction, he finds hope. And he finds comfort. Because God's blessings are new every day. Today. Every day. No matter what else has gone on, God's blessings are there. And they are fresh and new and all over again every single day. Today. Today, if you hear His voice, which day is today? Every day. Every day that you're alive. This is not yesterday. This is not tomorrow. This is today. And this today, this day, is the day I need to listen to His voice. And if I listen to His voice, I will begin to move in the direction toward Him and find those blessings. And then the book of Hebrews in 3:13 will say, but encourage one another day after day as long as it's still called today. The Apostle Paul will write about it in another place where he said, you're not dead yet. It's still today. And you're still alive. So every day that you're alive, encourage one another. Every day that's called today. So that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Every day. We bring ourselves closer to God and we encourage everyone else to move closer to God. Cast away from you all your transgressions. There's things we have to put away from us. All your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. I can change my heart? Yes. I can change my thinking? Yes. I can change me? Yes. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Now, isn't that something? You know, we find out a lot about what we can do when we come face to face with what's expected of us. And a lot of times, expectations we think are beyond our ability to reach. And they're not whenever we are forced into doing things we never expected that we could. And look at this and God's expectations. Make yourself a new heart. Make yourself a new spirit. Become different in the way you think and the way you conduct yourselves. Because why will you die, O Israel? You do this or you will die. The Apostle Paul wrote about it, or spoke about it, to the people at Athens when he said, the times of this ignorance God overlooked and winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Because they can. Because they should. Because he's given them the ability to do it. We can change. We can be different. And it takes listening to Him. Which is all it takes. Is listening to Him and pay attention to Him. So we get a new me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. What does that mean, to be in Christ? If you say it means I've been baptized. Wrong answer. Being baptized into Christ is something that we do, but being in Christ means that we are clothed with Him, that we are wrapped up in Him like a garment. And everything that we are doing in life, we are striving to be like Him. We strive to talk like Him. We strive to act like Him. We strive to think like Him. We strive to allow Him to live in us as we come to know Him. then we strive to become like Him. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. If anyone is in Christ, striving to be like Him, he has got a new heart. And he has a new mind. And he has a new life. And because of what Christ has done, the old things have passed away. And new things have come. Because we're in Christ. And we're striving to be like Him. Who did this for us? God did. When Christ died on the cross, and He showed us what it means for a human being to live like God wants him to live. And what it means for a human being to be what God wants him to be. And we see it in Christ Jesus. And so we become a new me. A new me. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus. May it never be that I would boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I got a lot of love for this world that needs to be crucified. We all do. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. What does that mean? Whether you've been circumcised or not matters nothing at all. Whether you are a Jewish person or an American matters nothing at all. Doesn't matter what race you're from. It doesn't matter anything about your background. It doesn't matter at all. None of that matters at all. But what matters everything is the new creation, being in Christ. And those who will walk by this rule, striving to be this new creation, striving to be like Christ. Those who will walk by this rule, dying to the world and living for Him. Peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Israel, the word that came to be God's people. And that's exactly what God intended for the word to be. And in the New Testament, God's people are identified. Those are the ones who are in Christ. They are the ones who belong to Christ. And in Christ, we're new creatures. In Christ, there's peace and mercy from God upon us. And we are the people of God in Christ. New hearts, new minds, new me, new all of us that are in Christ. But you did not learn Christ in this way. What's he talking about? Paul in the book of Ephesians. He's just described that all of us were dead in our trespasses and sins. And what were we doing? We were living our lives the way we wanted to live them. We were living our lives doing the things that we wanted to do, with no regard to what God would have us to do, with no regard to what God thought and what God said. We were living like the rest of the world in darkness. In ignorance of God, of His Word, of His will. And even if we knew His Word and His will, we treated it as if it didn't matter. And we were living in darkness. And then Paul writes to the church at Ephesus after having described that, and he says, but that's not how you learned Christ. You didn't learn Christ in this way, that you can do whatever you want to do. You can live for yourself. If indeed you have heard Him, if you've listened to what Jesus says, if you have been taught in Him, taught about Him and taught about what He says, just as truth is in Christ. Remember Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, is crucified with Christ. You put it away. I can change who I am? Yes. And God shows us how, and God makes it possible. You lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. The lust of deceit. Lust means desire. And desire means anything that I'm wanting to do. But a desire that is deceitful is almost like that devil's lie that he began with in the book of Genesis. Look at it for yourself and do what you think is best and forget about what God said. Look at it for yourself and see what you think about it and forget about what God says. And so a desire is created in me, but it's a deceitful desire. I'm God's creation. And the lie is that I can pretend that I'm not. And the lie is that I can pretend that I control this life. And I'm the one who decides what this life will do. And that's the lie. Because I'm God's creation. And one of these days we'll all find out exactly how much we are His creation. And so this deceitful lust is the one that says you can rule your own life. And that you be renewed, become the new person. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind by changing the way you think. And put on the new self. Put off the old one and put on the new one, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Do you know when God made us what He said? Let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our likeness. The devil tried to destroy what God intended to create. Humanity in His likeness. How did He destroy that? By telling us, you're not in God's likeness. You do what you want. You decide what you think is right for you. And you do that. You are not in God's likeness. And guess what happens when we live that way? There's guilt. There's shame. There's all kinds of problems. There's all kinds of trouble. We cannot live that way. It's exactly what God intended to be in this world in which we live. And so God is calling us back to what we were created to be, His image and His likeness. And He shows us what it looks like. And it looks like Jesus. And that is in His image and in His likeness. Walking in righteousness and the holiness of truth. That's how we're to live. That's how we're to walk. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, all the grace that God has bestowed upon us to make this possible for us, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. This is what we're to do. This is how we worship God. This is how we glorify God. By becoming like Him, striving to be like Him. And do not be conformed to this world, no matter how pleasing it might sound and no matter how silly you might look. Don't be interested in being like the world around you. Don't be conformed to this world, but be metamorphosed. Be transformed. Be changed. By the renewing of your mind. And there it is. Do you know the thing? You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Tells you more about the dog than it does the trick. Yeah, we can change. God intended for us to. He made it possible for us to. So you don't be conformed to this world, but you be transformed, you be changed by the renewing of your mind, and that's where it has to happen. I change the way I think, and I change what I do. I change the way I think, and I change how I live. So that you may prove, demonstrate, show, prove to yourself and prove to others what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Being what God would have me to be. And it all starts just by coming to know God. And what He's done for us in Jesus Christ. And we get all of that by knowing His Word. And by reading His Word. And coming to understand what He's done for us. And in reading His Word and holding to His Word, we begin to move into the likeness of Christ and into the likeness of God as we change the way we think and we change the way we feel and we change the way we live. And we become like Him. Do you see why it's so important to emphasize the Bible so much and the Word of God so much? Because if we ignore what God says, then we are becoming the God. And we're doing exactly what the devil wants us to do. To live our lives the way we think best. Rather than to live our lives to honor Him and to please Him. Thus being His people. It's a hard challenge. But it's a blessing. And it's a blessed challenge. And it'll help each and every single one of us. To be what God would have us to be and to honor Him. And when we honor God with our lives, He will honor us forever. Let's make this a good day. And when we get up in the morning and we call that today, let's make it a good day. And make every today a day we move closer to God and being what He would have us to be. There may be some here this evening that are ready to put on Christ, have a need to come home to Christ. If you need to respond to His invitation for any reason, we'll offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.